Praise y'all. Good morning. Got a good number out with us here this Lord's Day. We're very appreciative of that, and I'd like to continue on and announce to you this morning of a welcome to all those who are out with us here this morning, especially if you are visiting with us here today at the Clarksville Church of Christ. I want you to feel like our honored guests and hope you'll come out and be with us again and again. We want you to understand and remind ourselves that all we're interested in is what this sacred volume right here has to say, the Bible. We believe that it is, as it reports to be, the words of God that one day we'll stand before God and give an account of our own lives in regards to the things written in these books, Revelation chapter 20, verses 12 through 15. And I'm going to utilize the PowerPoint here to my left, and I'm going to provide you book, chapter, and verse from the Bible, the Word of God, for everything I got to say here today, so you might know from where it is that we are gathering these things. Sarah Hale was a very noted editor in her day. She was also a songwriter, wrote a song that most all of us have heard, probably have all sung one time or another, Mary Had a Little Lamb. And Sarah, Sarah Had a Little Lamb, I'll never know, but it was Mary Had a Little Lamb. But anyway, she for some time had petitioned and had written in editorials in her newspaper the need for our country to have a day of Thanksgiving, a day of acknowledgement to the beneficent creator of the universe for all the different blessings that we share. And in 1863, our president, the 16th president, Abraham Lincoln, declared the fourth Thursday of November a day of thanksgiving and praise for all the wonderful blessings that we have, yea, even in the middle of what is one of the darkest ages and days of our country's history during the Civil War. I got to tell you that I'm very thankful to live in a country that has a day of thanks, a day of thanksgiving, where we pause for a moment and we acknowledge our blessings and we acknowledge from whence these blessings come. Although you know that these things are attempted to be purged from our society today. I am shocked how quickly we go from Halloween now to the Christmas holiday, and Thanksgiving is nothing more than a speed bump to get to all those different festivities and the giving and exchanging of gifts and commerce in our society today. But we wish to pause for just a moment, and I think rightfully so, to consider the idea of thanksgiving. In the book of Romans 1 and verse 21, Paul there, as he was writing there to those Romans about those in the Gentile world, those outside the covenant relationship of the Jews and children of Israel, he said, because when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, and neither were they thankful. This was one of the things that distinguished the Gentile nations and all their immorality from the Jewish nation. They were not thankful. In 2 Timothy 3 in verse 1, as Paul accounts that there were some perilous times coming, he says, but men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, and listen to this, unthankful. You show me a country, you show me a community, you show me a church, you show me an individual that is unthankful, and I'll show you a person on the slippery slopes of destruction. We don't hear thank you very often. We certainly don't see a very heartfelt thanksgiving in our world like we should today. But we need to. I heard it one time said, I wish Thanksgiving came every day. That was probably after some banana pudding or something like that. But what I want you to understand and appreciate here this morning is that Thanksgiving can come and should come every day. And I just want to catalog some things very briefly with you this morning for you to think about this idea. First of all, I want you to appreciate the idea of Thanksgiving, that it is commanded. We had read so well by Donnie a few moments ago, Psalms 100 verse 4, enter unto his gates with thanksgiving and be thankful unto him. Listen to the psalmist of old give command to those children of Israel, and to you and I as well for that matter, the idea of giving of thanks. Paul in Colossians 3:15 says, now I want you to be thankful. In chapter 5, verse 4, but rather giving to thanks. Same book, chapter 5 and verse 20. giving thanks always for all things unto God the Father. As he wrote the church at Colossae, he said, give thanks to the Father, Colossians 1 and verse 12. Same book, chapter 3, verse 17. Whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And finally, as Paul wrote his little protege, Timothy, in 1 Timothy 2, verse 1, he says, and giving of thanks be made for all men. You cannot read those passages without understanding that God expects thanksgiving. We expect it of our children. Someone hands our children to give, and we nudge them, and we pop them in the back of the head, and we say thank you, because we expect that thanksgiving to be expressed. And what I want you to understand is that God expects it so from his children. Thanksgiving, absolutely, every day, because it is commanded of a child of God to give thanks unto his God. But also I want you to see that it is for our benefit, the wonderfulness of thanksgiving. In Deuteronomy 6 and verse 24, understand the fact that thanksgiving is a command. There Moses said, these laws and statutes I give to you this day are for your good always. The commandments of God are for your good. There are benefits to you for being thankful. In John 13, 17, Jesus said, if you know these things, happy are you if you do them. In the context of my statements, what we need to understand, that being thankful is for our good. We need to be appreciative people. You know, when we say something appreciates, what do we mean? When a house appreciates, it becomes more valuable, doesn't it? Well, what I want you to understand is that more valuable people are appreciative people. They appreciate the things that are given. And I want you to appreciate that it gives us a peace of mind. A lot of people in the world today, if you ask them what it is that they want, I mean, there's all kinds of things that we might think they might list, but they're no different than you and I. On top of that list is, I want some peace. You know, I just want some calmness. I'd like some quietness in my life. I'd like to have that peace that passes understanding. Well, how in the world do I get that? We get that, ladies and gentlemen, by being thankful. We just sang a few moments ago, count your many blessings. Name them one by one. You'll be surprised what the Lord has done. I mean, we get anxious about what we don't have or what we're going through, and we lose focus of what's going on in life, the good things. And that's when we get stressed. That's when we get anxious. Count your blessings, not your problems. In Philippians 4, verse 6, he said, don't be anxious for anything, but through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be known unto God, and the peace of God, that's what we're talking about, and the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. How? By giving of thanks and praying to God and letting him know what is on your mind. Someone says, I'd be more thankful if I had more to be thankful for. No, you're not thankful because you're focusing on the wrong things. Because if we would focus on the proper things, we would have thanksgiving every day. But also, I want you to see this. We should be thankful for our life. In Genesis 2 and verse 7, the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and became a living soul. I want you to appreciate that God gave you your life. Matter of fact, Paul, as he wrote, talked on Mars Hill in Acts 72 and 25, seeing that he giveth all life and breath and all things. Matter of fact, verse 28, in him we live and move and have our very being. The reason why you are alive and present today is because God has given you that precious life. As Daniel was brought in before Belshazzar to be able to have on the wall, he says, and the God in whose hand thy breath is, our very breath is in the hand of God. And I should be thankful that he allows me to take these breaths. I woke up another day on this side of eternity, and I should be very grateful for that. As you think about the things that are most important to us in our lives, our families, the family unit, and what we have as family comes from God. We read there that children are an heritage of the Lord. Lo, the fruit of his womb is his reward.
Psalms 127, verse 3. He that finds a wife finds a good thing and has found favor from the Lord. Our families, our moms, our dads, our brothers, our sisters, our sons, our daughters, our husband and wife, all these things are blessings from God. And we should be thankful every day. Because I got to tell you, there'll come a time when we won't hear the little laughter of little children or have that companionship of a husband or a wife or a mom or a dad, people that we've taken for granted, unless we pause and give thanks. Our friends, those that we associate with, again, comes from God. A man that has friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. What would we do without them? They overlook our warts. They laugh with us. They cry with us. Someone says, my life, it stinks. No, it doesn't. It's your focus. I say that to you kindly, yet firmly. It is all a matter of perspective. It's all in the state of mind. Heard the story of a 92-year-old blind woman who went into her nursing home and she smiled and she said, "I love this new room." The nurse who had wheeled her in there without any family says, "How can you love it if you can't even see it?" She said, "It does not make a difference how the furniture is arranged. It is in how my mind is arranged to receive it. It's my room and I love it." It's up to you. Thanksgiving. Every day. The Word of God. Its ease of availability for each and every one of us. All Scripture has been given. Preach a lesson sometimes entitled Bible Givens. That's one of them. The Scripture has been given by the inspiration of God. It's profitable for your doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for the instruction of righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The Scriptures fulfill all your needs. According to His divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. God's word has been given, and thank God it has. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. By thy word I am strengthened. Psalm 119 verse 28. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, all you got to do is take a little time and look around the world. Where the word of God has no influence, there is violence and backwardness and all kinds of poverty. Love thy neighbor as thyself. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Joy is found within these pages. Happiness, peace, and comfort and love. It is the greatest self-help book ever written. It solves problems with our fellow man, with our family, with our brethren. And our problem of sin, received with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. Thanksgiving, absolutely, every day. That I have the Word of God. But I'm also thankful every day for eternal life. John said in 1 John 5 and verse 11, "For this is the record that God has given eternal life, and that life is in His Son." God could have set it all up that we live 50, 60, 70, 80, 90 years. Some of us poor, some of us rich, some of us successful, some unsuccessful, some healthy, some unhealthy, some persecuted, some left alone. And then we die. And that's it. We're all just dead. And what a miserable existence that would be. But that's not how God has left us. In John 6 and verse 68, as disciples were leaving Jesus left and right, he looked to his apostles and said, "Are you going to leave also?" And it was the apostle Peter that said the immortal words, "Where are we going to go? You have the words of everlasting life." In John 10 and 27, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life. No matter what befalls me, no matter whether I'm rich or poor, comforted or forsaken by men, I have something better, something greater awaiting me in the world to come." In this life, if a man hits the lottery, He's happy. And if his numbers are not correct, he's sad. But that's not how life is for me. And that's not how life should be for you. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has begotten us again unto a lively hope through the resurrection of the dead to an inheritance which is incorruptible, undefiled, that fades not away, reserved in heaven for you. A reservation with you and your mom and your dad and your son and your daughter and your brother and sister in Jesus Christ in a place called heaven. Thanksgiving? But also, the forgiveness of sin. I mean, there are things that I've done in my life that I've tried to forget. Sins that shame me to this day and I shudder at. Sins that I've not paid the price for. Thanks be to God. And will never pay the price for. In Romans 5 and verse 1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The word justify there literally means acquitted, exonerated, not guilty. How can that be? Through Jesus Christ. In Jeremiah 31, 34, for I will forgive their iniquities and I'll remember their sin no more. I mean, how many times has a husband or wife or a mom and dad or son or daughter said, well, you know, I've forgiven you, but then trouble rises again and that offense is brought up one more time. Oh, they'll say, well, I've forgiven, but I certainly haven't forgotten. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, we have a God that has paid the price for you. So that no matter what my offense, no matter what gross, putrid thing I've defiled myself with, I can go to Him and get relief. I can find forgiveness. Not only that, He will forget. I go to Him in prayer and I say, I've done it again. And He says, done what again? I have forgiven and I have forgotten your past. And I am thankful for that. That the guilt of my sin can be washed away. The peace, the joy, the renewing of mind, soul, and spirit be known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sin. Thanksgiving, hallelujah, every day. And finally, the thanksgiving for that Savior. In Matthew 1 and verse 21, and she shall bring forth a son and call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Jesus said, I have come to seek and to save that which is lost. Paul in 1 Timothy 1 and verse 15 said, now this is a faithful saying worthy of all acceptation, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And who can't say that? The wages of sin is death. The gift of God is everlasting life. How is it that Jesus saved me from my sin? I read in Hebrews 9 and 22 that without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. But in the book of Romans chapter 3, verses 24 through 26, Paul there says that Jesus Christ, here in these latter days, that he has set him forth to be a propitiation for our sins. That is an atoning sacrifice, the payment of the debt of sin. The wages of sin is death. You see, someone had to die, and Jesus said, I'll do it. He was about to see one of his fellow soldiers be executed, and knowing that he had a wife and children at home that would be left without a father and a husband, he, having no family, stood and said, take me instead. And they did. Jesus Christ did that for all of us. When it came to my turn at the stomp of the executioner, it was Jesus who said, steal your axe. Take me. God committed his love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
Jesus said, the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And I got to understand that until I make the story of Jesus Christ a very personal one, I don't understand the story of Jesus. Because my Savior died for me.
Someone says, I don't have family or friends to eat bird with on Thanksgiving. Well, we can throw a little pity party for ourselves. And I'm sorry that maybe you don't. But know this. You have a Savior who loved you enough to say to that executioner, I'll die for them. I love them so much. They are of such great value to me. Thanksgiving? Maybe you got to say the prayer at Thanksgiving and you don't know what to say. Understand Thanksgiving is commanded. It's for our good. You want to live a peaceful life? You start and you end and you stop in the middle of the day and you count your blessings, not your problems. Be thankful for your life and what you have in it. God's word, the hope of everlasting life, the forgiveness of your guilt, of your sin, and a Savior who very much personalized his death for you. And if we've learned that, and if we can do that, I think our time will have been spent very profitably. Thank you for listening to me this morning. We're about to stand to sing a song of invitation to encourage you this morning. Maybe there's one of our audience who's not going to be obedient to the word of the Savior. When he said, go into the world and preach this good news. He that believes it and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes it not shall be condemned. He promises of Jesus Christ. Believe not, you'll be condemned.
Be leaving and be baptized.
You shall be saved. You have the opportunity to be obedient to this gospel call this morning. Maybe you've gone back and come back to the word. You need the prayers of the congregation or something else that we might be able to help you do. Give out on a straight and narrow path that leads from this low ground to heaven above. You know, John said in 1 John 1 verse 9, if we will confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we can pray with you here this morning, we'll be happy to do that and extend the invitation to you. So if you're subject to him in any way, come forward now and stand and sing.